gospel music fans have always had a love in particular for the bass singer, and we've got one of the best on the show today, the Kingsmen's Braden Reese, starting right now.
Welcome to Daniel Britton Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to another edition of the show, and today we've got one of the best, as I said before, one of the best bass singers in all of gospel music through the years. And his name is Radeen Reese, and he does not need much of an introduction beyond that, because you say Radeen, you say the Kingsmen, you've got the whole picture right there, almost. But we're going to go back and hear all the in-betweens, and even before the Kingsmen, what life was like in gospel music for Radeen. But Ray, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Hey, what a pleasure. It's appreciate it.
Well, listen, I've grown up listening to you with the Kingsmen, and even through all the member changes, you were a constant, you were steady in there. But as I said, let's go back, even in the beginning when there was just a little baby boy born to a mom and dad, and they named him Radeen. Where'd you grow up? Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Asheville, North Carolina. Well, actually outside of Asheville, North Carolina, town called Marshall, North Carolina, but moved into the, we're going by counties, you know, that's called Madison County, and then we moved into what is now Asheville area, which is called Buncombe County, and always had a love and for gospel music, raised up in church, and even at a young age, as I remember back in 12, 13, 14 years old, used to go to the, we used to have in Asheville what they call singing conventions, where we meet each about once a month or different places, and review the new songbook that came out, and we would the teachers would teach the shade notes and all of that back then, and we even started well, the folks that are listening, that are acquainted with these situations, is what they call first Sunday night, second Sunday night, third Sunday night singings at different churches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we would gather and have the, we, in fact, something that people don't know, I guess, is in Asheville, North Carolina, we had, there was Rex Nealon, he and I were, would attend these conventions together, London Parish, if you're not familiar with that name, it was with the Blackwood Brothers, and, right. Later on in life, and Calvin Runyon, who was before me with singing bass for the Kingsmen back then. Kingsmen started in 1956 in the mountains of North Carolina. At that time, they were called the McKinney Brothers when they first started. There were three brothers in the group. And then they, about a year after the beginning there, they became the Kingsmen. And so all of us, different guys, would get together and sing. And then that evolved as far as myself. I would attend the... back then it was the Mull Singing Convention. He'd have singing to Asheville once a month or something like that. And we would all visit that. Of course, it's always been, and from the get-go, it was my desire. Even at, I sang in my first quartet about, I was about 14, 15 years old. And from there on, it was just, that was all that I was interested in.
Did you ever think that you would be carrying the banner in such a way at this point in life? I mean, to where you've championed gospel music so much and the art form, and of course the message of the gospel like this, but you've done this for so much of your life that, I mean, you've reached the legendary status with Hall of Fames, with the awards, and now you're pointing, you know, even the kids say, hey, this is something that can be part of your life if you'll choose to allow it, this style of music. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And no, I did not dream. Well, it was a dream to do this. But never in my did I realize that I was going to, that God was going to allow me to fulfill my dream in life, which is sing gospel music. It's a joy.
God is watching over all, and He hears each time we pray. Lift your voice in a happy song. Love will roll all the clouds away.
Said, and obviously you were not the first, you're not in the original lineup when they changed names from the Brothers over to the Kingsmen. At what point did you set your sights on them, or did they have an opening and you apply, or how did that come about?
Well, we were all raised up there together. After the McKinney Brothers, they changed their name, then we were all acquainted, and but I never realized at the time that I would be able to be part of the Kingsmen Quartet. But we sung locally and around there. The first quartet I ever sang in was called Master's Quartet, and it was one of the members of that group was my cousin, and his name was Julius Rice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the folks remember when we. A young man that came to the Kingsmen named Arthur Rice.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even born then, back in the early days. But that was the first quartet I sang in, was Julius Rice. And then who'd ever thought that one day his son, Arthur Rice, would be part of the Kingdom. And, of course, Arthur now is part of the Kingdom Heirs.
Right.
From Dollywood. But... It just evolved, you know. It was one of the first groups that I sang with. After that, was called the Silvertones, and we had a piano player by the name of Martin Cook. it's just a history of gospel music out of the mountains of North Carolina. And of course, everybody knows who Martin is.
Absolutely.
And, I sang locally with groups, and then one day Martin called me, and then he went to the formed the Inspirations, and he called me one day and wanted me to come and sing for him or with him, and I did for a while there. And of course, again, you know, I wasn't even. Aware or considering that this could be a was going to be involved into this full time, but I had that, you know, that desire, and I was always sticking my nose into everything concerning gospel music.
Yeah, right,
could,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And then the Kingsmen had the McKinney Brothers continued. Well, they were the Kingsmen, and their bass singer. By the name of Reese McKinney, had an unfortunate accident and was taken from us. He worked for a construction company and he lost his life. But and then Eldridge Fox became part of the Kingsmen back then as their piano player. And then a young man by the name of Calvin Runyon began singing bass for the Kingsmen. And then Calvin left and went to sing with the Dixie Echoes out of Pensacola, Florida. And so then I had the opportunity to start singing bass for him in the middle, early 60s, mid-early 60s. And then Calvin moved back to Asheville, and for about a year or so there, he was began second base for the Kingsmen again, and then again he left, and so my tours with the Kingsmen began in the early 60s and then came back in the late 60s. So going into my 46 years
wow.
of singing with the Kingsmen.
It was 6 or 7 years ago I sat down with Jim Hamill, and we talked a lot about Kingsmen history, too. And hearing you talk and hearing Jim talk, I mean, it really, there are a few groups like this, but not many, where it really has been a who's who in gospel music that have passed through the school of the Kingsmen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, of course, Arthur Rice is with the Kingdom Heirs now. We did a reunion back a few years back, and my son Brandon, who's been with the Kingsmen now for 14 years, he put all of this together, and I think we were looking at over the years, in the last, what is that, 50-something years, 55, 56 years of the Kingsmen, we have, including the band members and everything, we have had about, I think it was about 80-something people pass through there in the last, say, 50-something years. So it's... we have Jerry Martin, who was with the Kingsmen singing tenor one time, is now with the Kingdom Heirs.
Yeah.
And I just go brain dead on some of this.
Well, I know obviously some of the big ones like Squire Parsons and, of course, Anthony Berger, I think of. And
those are starting to come to mind. But
yeah.
We have
and the Perrick.
Johnny Perrick.
Johnny Perrick, yeah.
Yeah. The first tenor back in 69 and 70 was a man by the name of Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
And he was synonymous in gospel music because he had sang with the Spear family and the Rangers and so much. And then John Perry came along. And then, of course, little Ernie Phillips, he came along. And little Ernie and Squire.
Yeah.
And, then it just, of course, the driving force. And then, well, Big Jim Hamill, he came with us in about 1970, 71. And of course, he was the driving force, at, you know, of our concerts and our stage work and everything for so many years. He was there for like, well, up until about 1996, well, maybe 97.
Yeah.
He retired, but then he continued to travel with us, you know, periodically. Then you got, we had Wayne Maynard. He was, a lot of people loved Wayne, and they remember him.
Child.
Yeah, child, child.
And, yeah.
Of course, Arthur was noted for a place where the hungry are fed.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it just unfolded. God had a plan for us, and still has a plan for us. And we're just I'm trying to think of all of these people that contributed to the Kingsmen down through the years.
Well, you've certainly been, I mean, you can talk about a long history, and it's certainly, you got the numbers there. It's 55, 56 years or so. But a strong history is what I think of as well with the Kingsmen, because it's one thing just to go out there and be faithful and outlast the others. But there's another thing when you are making an impact in such a way, the Kingsmen, you guys have caused ripples and waves in gospel music for so many years of doing outstanding music. And I just kind of want to ask here is every group, every artist has their own signature way of singing a song. I mean, you can talk about some groups have these super tight harmonies and they do things inverted and rearrange the chords and everything like that. You got other groups, not even think like the Goodmans, who just kind of open her up and let her rip, you know, and in a way, and tell me if I'm incorrect here in saying this, the three Three chords and a cloud of dust. Is that the way the phrase goes?
Yeah.
That's what typically I hear or see along with the Kingsmen. You guys had such energy, and you were just up there, and you were like, okay, this is something that catches your attention. And sometimes, like these convention tunes, you go off in different directions, but you make it back home on that last note.
Yeah. That's well, and you know, that is so, we were blessed to have the energy and the desire and the everything to, this was the Kingsmen. This was the Kingsmen.
Yeah.
And of course, we had Anthony Berger for so long there. And by the way, fortunate enough, and you know, changes come, but we have been so fortunate down through the years. The group that, as it is now or was up until the end of the year, we had the same members on the vocal for 5 years.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And, of course, change is inevitable. You know, it's going to happen.
Sure.
And since January, we had little Ernie Phillips has been traveling with singing tenor. And, gosh, what a exciting time it's been.
I bet. I've seen clips and I've heard the excitement from other people that it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course he's not going to be able to stay with us because of you know, his health and other commitments that he has in his life. But we are enjoying it as we go now, and we'll be announcing within the next little while who our new tenor singer is going to be.
Sure.
I'm excited. I got a birthday coming up in May, and I'll be 73 years old. But I'm just as excited now as I was back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah,
God has really blessed me. He's blessed the Kingsmen, and the history continues of the Kingsmen. We pray daily that God will continue to allow us to go out of everywhere and spread the gospel and song. I tell people a lot of times I got the best job in the world.
Yeah.
And he's allowed me to have the best job in the world, and that's to go all over the world and spread his gospel and song and meet folks. You know, we meet so many people and have developed, you know, friendships and, you know, all these years. And I could just go on and on. God has just so blessed us. And we get to meet people like you and through the radio and have contact with people. And the people, that's one of our main desires, is the people we come into contact with, that we can build a relationship with them, and that we can be the singing can be a blessing, and that they'll receive a blessing. You were talking about the energy, because we feel that way, because when we go before an audience and present the gospel and song, there's Christians, and then there's the unsaved, and there's that we want to present this to, and the excitement. We want the people to come and hear the Kingsmen, and when they leave, that they'll have a smile on their face and joy in their heart. But the most important thing is when we sing and somebody accepts our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's what it's all about.
Ray Dean Reese of the Kingsmen Quartet, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I feel life is worth living. Each day's a dream fulfilled. God plans to include Jesus, walking in his will. I know that I'm not perfect. Praise God by his grace. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved.
Ray, that's a little too smooth. Put it right in the end of your nose and sing it out.
I feel life is worth living. Each day's a dream fulfilled. My plans include Jesus, walking in his will. I know that I'm not perfect. Praise God by his grace. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved.
Beautiful home, beautiful land, beautiful place on the far away.
home of beauty, life, beautiful home of right to right.
And I know I live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of beauty, life, beautiful home of mansions right. Sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
I will have a beautiful home someday.
Beautiful home of purity of life, beautiful home of a mansion bright.
And I know I live in one someday.
Beautiful sights there to behold, beautiful gates and streets of gold.
This is Daniel Britton Friends. Today's guest is a legendary guy, great heart, great bass singer, and a manager of the Kingsmen Quartet. Ray Dean Reese is with us. Now, Ray Dean, let me ask, through the years, and I said this a few minutes back about the three chords and cloud of dust type thing, but I'm telling you, you guys have embraced some different styles down through the years as well that kind of break out of that typical mold of just a big, powerful energy that you guys have. And have you found that to be fun, experimenting with different little sounds here and there, or different styles, all staying in gospel music, obviously, but, you know, just different approaches to the songs?
It, absolutely. It's a combination that we need to connect with the people. And there's different songs and different presentations that we want to do with this, because we want to connect with everybody. And a lot of times, you know, from the excitement, we need to connect with the people in a simple way of worship and change the, you know, there's so many songs and the presentation of these songs to different people. And it connects with them in different situations in their life. For example, the song we did, When God Ran, is an example of that. He is like the story of the prodigal son. His father didn't wait on him to get to the house, coming back from all the situations in his life.
Yeah.
His father loved him, and our father loves us. And when he was coming home, his father didn't wait for him to get there. He ran out to meet him and to show him that he still loved him. And that's the way our Lord is, our Savior is. He wants to show us that he loves us. And even though there's times that we have strayed, and he wants us to know that he loves us and welcomes us to his arms and to back to the to him. And see, that's a message within itself. And then we have the one of the songs like we're excited about Meet Me at the Table, you know. One of these days we're going to meet at the table of with our Savior, and excitement is going to be there well, you know, we've ran the race, and hey, we're going to meet at the table. And then there's like a beautiful home, you know.
Yeah. Well, and these songs bring hope, and like, and the experience may be different for everybody. I mean, your story, the specifics are different than my story, but the common thing there is Jesus, and the common thing is this is the hope of heaven that is to come. And I think that's what makes this so impactful. You could sing the same songs every night across the country, but you're singing to a different group of people who are responding maybe even differently because their circumstances are differently. And that, I'm sure that keeps you fueled for moving on and keep the song alive, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. And the songs that we have, that we do nightly or we have done in the past, it's each one of them has a message.
Yeah.
And for different people, you know, different circumstances. And I'll give you an example. Is that one song that is my testimony and our testimony, but mine in particular is the great song that we do called The Healing Stream.
Yeah.
And I have experienced physical healing, the spiritual healing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a lot of times. And for the folks out there, it doesn't matter if it's a physical need or a spiritual need, or just an uplifting in their daily lives. There truly is a healing stream coming from on high, if we're just allowed to happen.
There's a healing stream that's flowing down from a higher place above.
God has been good to me, and he's in charge, and I say a battle, but God is always in control of these battles, and he's blessed me before. I've had a couple of bouts with cancer, but God always has taken care of me, and that's one reason I love that song, Healing Stream, because he is truly a loving God, and a healing God, and he answers our prayers. But you know, a lot of times we think, well, God, why is my prayer not answered? answered instantly. Yeah. But he has a plan for each and every one of us. And these are things that we go through in life, but we have to depend on him. And he answers our prayers his way. Not necessarily when we want him to, or not necessarily our way.
Right.
But he has a plan for us. And he's always been been true, and however he sees fits. And I had my surgery back in November the 27th, and see, God has touched me, you know, with his hand instantly, and healed my body, healed my, and he healed out my heart, my soul, you know, spiritually. But he also, that's where the doctors and the surgeons and medical people, that's where they get their knowledge anyway, is from God. And so however he sees fit to take care of me, I'm believing in that, whether it be through the surgeons, whether it be through the doctors, or him touching me instantly. He has a plan for all of us in our life, and there is truly a healing stream, whatever the situation is, coming from on high. And we're doing an interview here. I don't want to get to preaching on you.
Well, that's okay. You know, as I've heard Hobie Lister say, and now, you know, people like Sherry Easter and Janet Paschal, who've all dealt with cancer, they all say, you know, and it's a scary world we're in, but you're only as good as your last checkup. And at this time when we're talking, everything looking good with your cancer?
Yes. Yes, everything's going along. I mean, it's a treatment stage now, and we just push forward. Everything's looking good.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Everything's going to be good.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me the other day, when I was going to retire, and I said, well, simply, I got another 40 years yet.
That's good. That's good. And how's your wife?
She's doing very well. She has her ups and her downs with from her accident the things that's happened to her. But we're so blessed, you know?
Yeah.
We're so blessed. Yeah. We're so blessed.
Was it 5-6 years ago or something? I remember it was a big effort. A lot of gospel music friends and people were praying for your wife, and and it's good to hear her hanging in there.
Yeah, she's doing very well.
Good.
Doing very well. And two, I'll take this time to thank those folk all over the country that's been praying for me, and still praying for me, and I appreciate those prayers, and I want people to continue to keep me and the Kingsmen in their prayers, because God blesses us all, and he sees and hears our prayers. And anyway, I'm excited that that God has blessed me to be still with the Kingsmen. And we miss Big Jim Hammond. He passed away in 04, '06, I believe it was, or 07.
Right, right.
And, of course, Eldridge Fox, the guy that was the mainstay, too, with the Kingsmen as the manager and the owner of the organization. He passed away from us in 2001. Mm. But we miss those folks. But like the song we do, Wish You Were Here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a great song. That's another illustration of what we're talking about, the difference in the songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's happy songs, and there's the songs that we can relate to and share. But the Kingsmen nowadays, we're just, we miss Jim and we miss Foxy, but God is providing us each and every right down the road with who he wants us to have. And we're excited. We're excited about what's happening with the Kingsmen now. And we're talking about the history, the accolades that the Kingsmen have garnered down through the years. But you know, that is a a testimony of what we have been able to do with what God has allowed us to do. And those are fine, and we appreciate the all of the number one songs. And you know, a number one song to me is not because it's a Kingsman. It's because that the people are receiving something from these songs, that they request them, that they want to hear them, and that it's tying in with their, you know, what they feel. And we're so thankful for those. And it's that we were able to present a song to the people that they got a blessing from, that they loved, and that they were honored us with the fact that that's a good song and we want to hear it.
Sure.
And it becomes a number one song. One of the longest running number one gospel songs was a song called Excuses.
I remember that.
But that tied in with what was happening or what happened, you know. That was a surprise, because it was but it told a story of the things that we come up with, you know, not to get to attend, not to have to go to church. And we all have excuses, but that was really a fun song to do, and people loved that song, and it told a message within itself, you know.
Absolutely.
That we have these excuses, and then the one that we did, it was number one for the Kingsman called "Look for Me at Jesus' Feet." Oh man, what a blessing that song was, and we were very fortunate. We had one of the greatest men and songwriters in our group there, by Squire Parsons, you know.
Yeah.
And what a writer. What a blessing that man is to gospel music and to the people. And our desire is to be able to, in our industry, to be able to be ourselves and to set an example of what gospel music means to us in the business and the people. Set an example of what we can do and for the Lord, and not to glorify us, but to glorify Him. And so whatever the awards may be, we are setting an example for the people, that they can connect with us, and for the industry, that we can be part of this great industry. And it's just, man, we could go on forever and ever.
Well, I'm telling you, the songs that made it to the top of the charts are so numerous, and we're hearing so many of them today here on Daniel Britt and Friends with our guest, Radine Reese.
Take hand with a poor boy who won't every day.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do?
Keep your lamps all trim and burning, for the bridegroom watch and wait. He'll be with us at that meeting, and you'll not have long to wait.
Hallelujah, I'll meet you.
Thank God.
listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Rating Reese is our guest today. There's only one in gospel music lovers' mind. There is only one Kingsman, okay? But if you start Googling, you'll find out that there is a secular band by the same name. You guys ever get confused with each other, the Louie Louie Band?
No. Well, every once in a while, we'd be stopped somewhere, at a truck stop or eating or whatever, and people know who we are, and they say, "Oh, did you do Louie Louie?"
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? We have a great relationship with those people.
Oh, that's cool.
Division. It's different kinds of music, but the Kingsmen, like I say, we formed in 1956 and 50, but they on their side they were Kingsmen Louie. That's where they became popular with that song.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have there's no conflict there.
Yeah.
There's no conflict. It's a different part of the world, and even though they were the Kingsmen at that time, and we're still when we were too.
Yeah.
A funny thing happened. We were singing at I believe it was in Louisville, Kentucky. We had a big singing there. Going to be singing there.
Uh-huh.
And or maybe they were performing there. I can't remember exactly how it was, but anyway. When the publicity came out, it had our picture.
Oh no!
In the publicity.
Oh boy! Surprise!
Yeah, and it was, it was a good-natured thing, and we just moved right along, you know.
Well, through the years, you've moved through, and now obviously, I'm sure the bass part belonged to you through the years, but some of the other responsibilities probably have changed. Now, I mean, you're managing and leading the Kingsmen down the road. I think at one time that would have been Foxier, and then with Jim Hamill coming, he did more of the stage stuff. So, through the years, how have your responsibilities outside of singing changed with the Kingsmen to what it is today?
Well, through my experience of being part of the Kingsmen and under the management of Eldridge Fox, we learn all these things. We have the same desire, and have had the same desire, and you learn from your peers there. And it's been a very smooth transition, but I did not realize as much what they were having to do and the importance of the business aspect of it. And until it come time for me to, when I took over, and it's quite an experience. But if it hadn't been for my I'm going to use this word, learning.
Yeah, right.
from Foxy and Hamill down through the years, it would be a different world for me. But I'm just thankful that I've been able to experience this and through the years, and to be able that God allowed me to step in and continue to lead the Kingsmen on into down the road. But there are so many things that we experience in the quartet or in our music, the groups, so many people really see our industry is our ministry. And a lot of times people relate ministry to, that we just do certain aspects, but our group and our industry and the mission of all of the groups out there is to spread the gospel in song, and it is a ministry, and we have comments a lot of times about, especially in these economical times that we're going through now, and some people can about a lot of people see us traveling on these buses and everything, and they think that, you know, why do you need such a maybe expensive or such a big bus, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure.
But it depends on your ministry.
Yeah.
It depends on your travel. And a trio can maybe use a different type of transportation. But when you travel, you do 180, 200 dates a year, which is all over the United States.
Right.
It's not the limelight of saying, oh, we've got a big bus or, you know, whatever that. It's what we have to have to travel all day. We travel sometimes 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours in a night.
Yeah.
You know, to go from different places.
Yeah.
And it's a necessity that we you know, be able to rest. I mean, we live on our buses.
Sure, absolutely.
And so does everybody else.
Yeah.
But true, as a owner and a manager of a group, we have to look at every aspect, especially in these economical times, of how to make this work, to cut you know, costs here and cut costs there. It's like any other business that people have to do. But for the Kingsmen, I'll say this: unfortunately, we can't just, you know, pack up in a van and go place to place.
Right.
But fortunately, we're able to do what we're doing and do it in comfort. And when I say comfort, we say rest. You know.
Sure.
The Kingsmen have a full-time driver, mm-hmm. and that's part of our organization. And notice that when we get through one concert, we can get back on our tour bus, and we have, you know, the beds, and we sleep and we relax, and comes time the next day, the next evening, we do it again.
Right, absolutely.
But it's the economical situation is not only affecting our friends and our churches and every aspect of this, it affects us too, and we have to keep that in line with what we are doing and what we're planning on doing. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying it's a necessity.
Yeah.
For us to be able to, we go on like last night or a few weeks back. It took us 12 hours. From one day to the next.
Wow.
And we couldn't just do that ourselves. Well, we are within the realm of a smaller vehicle.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunately, buses are a necessity.
That's right. Yeah. And it's become a symbol, though. I mean, it would be kind of odd to see a quartet these days piling out of a big car or something, or a van, you know.
Yeah.
It's become part of what we expect a quartet, you know, to look and sound like. And the Kingsmen have carried on a great tradition through the years. And Asheville, North Carolina is where they've been based from. It's where you said you were born and raised in that area, and you still live there today. You'll never get out of Asheville, will you?
No, well, no.
you ever had thoughts of relocating? You know, some people say, hey, Nashville's a little more centrally located, more Music City type stuff.
Well, of course, people say that. But, you know, we've been blessed with a pretty good location.
Yeah.
The quartet. There's a lot of groups in my friend Ed O'Neill and the Dixie Melody Boys.
Yeah,
they're
in
Kinston, North Carolina.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter where they're going, but brother, let me tell you something. From Kinston, North Carolina, to anywhere is a long way.
I can see that. I can, yeah.
And my friend Les Beasley and the Florida Boys at the time, before they retired, going from Pensacola, Florida, to anywhere is a long way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And of course, when we go west, it's a long way from Asheville, North Carolina. But again, I use Ed as a illustration. When Ed goes west, it's a long way against the North Carolina. Too.
True. Yeah. Absolutely.
But we could talk all day, and I could not convey how blessed that we are and the Kingsmen are. And I remember 90% of the time when we have to change members, we have them move, you know, mm-hmm. because we've had people from all over the country that have been members of the Kingsmen.
Sure.
We at one time had a drummer, his name was Chester Arms. He was from California. And it just worked to where that was what he felt like he wanted to do, and God wanted to do, so he moved.
Wow.
We've had Johnny Parrick move from Arkansas, but we're blessed. We're blessed. I can't stress that enough how blessed we are.
Well, Raylene's been the mainstay through the years, and you certainly can find them with the tour schedule. They travel hopefully near you somewhere, and if you're listening and you want to find out more about them, you can link over to their site, which is KingsmenQuartet.com. It's all spelled out, KingsmenQuartet.com online. Raylene, I know you guys keep up to date with all that's going on in that technology field. And your son Brandon travels with you, and the quartet, and the driver, and you guys have a great team, and you're traveling the world, singing for Jesus. What could be better?
That's why I say God give me the best job in the world.
Yep.
You know, it's to travel all over the world and to meet great people and to spread His gospel in song, it's a pleasure and. And God has been good to us and all of us. And He's good to gospel music. He's been good to gospel music. He is good. Because all our groups, our friends out here that travel each night, so and when we're in the concerts, you know, with our groups. And you know what? That I want to say that always we have such a relationship. Our groups have such a relationship with one another. And there's not competition. There's no competition.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is different in their presentation. And that's what we are there to do, is to spread whatever, to cover each point to the folks that come to hear the group sing.
Yeah.
Come to hear at the concerts, at the church services, whatever they might be, is everybody... has a different way of presenting this ministry, and it's like different ministers, you know. If all ministers preach alike, you know, but you could go just hear one and you'd hear the same thing over and over.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I'm thankful for our relationship with the groups. And all groups, and I could go name them. I don't want to mess anybody or offend anybody, but you know, we got the Gold City, the Kingdom Heirs, the Perrys, the Booth Brothers, and our friends in Atlanta, the Diplomats. Oh, what a great group they are! And each and every night when we go on to do these concerts. Everybody has a great relationship, and everybody has a great goal, and that's to present the gospel through the song and the music.
It's the old ship of Zion.
Well, your legacy, certainly your faithfulness is admirable, and we do appreciate your time today and the service you've given to the kingdom and all that you've done with the Kingsmen. And the music, again, at KingsmenQuartet.com.
I appreciate you allowing me to share with you folks, and what a wonderful job that you folks do for the gospel and playing the music and the testimonies. And we're thankful for you and appreciate being able to talk to you and talk to the people. And we just want the people to support gospel music, to support the radio like you folks and other stations across the world, across the country, and the group. And we appreciate the support of the people, and we pray that we'll always be able to deliver the message that is needed for people who are hurting in their heart or whatever it might be, their situation, that they can gather from the Kingsmen and the other groups what they need to go to work on Monday morning and be happier from something they've encountered from the Kingsmen or gospel music over the, you know, the week prior to that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
It'll be uplifting and that they can it'll be put more happiness in their life. We appreciate the people and the radio stations like you and the record companies that work so hard for our industry. And thankful for you.
It certainly is a team effort. Good music, good radio, good artists, good songs. It all works together. And Ray, we appreciate your time today. And thanks for, I know you're on the road. I can hear the noise. Are you doing down the road right now?
Yeah, we're on our way. We were in Dexter, Atlanta last night in McDonough, Georgia.
Yeah.
We would like to invite all the people anytime. You can get our schedule on our website. But if we're anywhere around, folks, come and visit with the Kingsmen. We would love to have you, and we'd love to visit with you.
Ray Dean Reese, good to have you here today, and thanks for taking your time.
I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you so much. Wow.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Yeah, and I've enjoyed talking with you.
Well, glad to do it, and glad to honor you and what the Kingsmen have stood for so many years.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.